Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the In The Mixer podcast. Wow.
Wait, we've been sat here for like half an hour. He's waited so long with that prepared.
What? I don't know.
Wait, what even is that?
It's the Swedish national anthem, boys.
Oh, I thought
I've never heard of it. Has that changed since the last time we beat you? Actually, it probably has, because I don't think we've beaten Sweden at a World Cup for quite a long time.
But since 1996, it's coming home.
Since
1966.
Wait, yeah, there we go. Okay.
That's the so, yeah. Just gave away my birthday there.
The recognisable voices there of Michael and Ellis. I'm Phil, your host of this week's In The Mix. I say this week's, we haven't done it in a few.
Do we have to apologise for that? Or
episode, like... I don't know.
Do you know,
we?
Because
I feel like
tour,
we should.
Technically, like, surely. No, I don't think we have to apologise. You're welcome.
Well, we did kind of say we'd be doing frequent World Cup episodes, and this is our first one, and we're now at the quarterfinals stage.
Yeah, but if from this point onwards, it's all content, so...
Maybe. We're only recording today, the Wednesday 4th of July, because there's no football, and that's literally the only reason we're managing to record today.
Yes.
We're not fresh off the plane, but we did obviously go to Russia, which we'll be talking about later on, our experience there.
Phil was definitely not fresh off the plane, given that he...
I'm not fresh anywhere, I'll be honest.
Yeah, you
smell disgusting. I'm a stinky man. But we've just come off the back of two fantastic games for all of us in the all of our hostingness, us three. England won a penalty shootout, and Sweden
won a game.
Won a game
another
against
one.
another one. Ellis, would you like to talk about Sweden first? Because I feel like.
I feel like I don't need to introduce Sweden. I feel like we've done so well at this World Cup that I probably don't have anything to talk about because everybody knows everything about Sweden.
I mean...
Except how to beat them.
I would say that the Sweden game is the only knockout game that I've missed so far because I fell asleep.
Wow. Hey, that's
which I felt,
true
which I felt really
well.
Bad for. I felt really bad as soon as I woke up and like Hannah was screaming. I was like, oh, there's been a goal. I was like, who scored? And she was like, oh, it's Sweden. So I was like, oh, I probably should be watching this, shouldn't I?
I watched the first half, which was probably the most difficult first half of football to ever watch, so...
What I thought Sweden were very good in the first half, though.
They were very good, but you
but
should have
But we didn't
been...
take our
yeah,
chances.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure, Marcus Berg should have bagged the hat-trick within, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm... He's going to start against England, but I still don't think he deserves to start. He's had, I think it's 14 or 15 attempts without scoring a goal, which is the highest amount of shots or attempts without scoring a goal at the World Cup. And you know who's second?
Who?
Or was second until he scored? Mr. Emil Forsberg. At 13.
Yeah. And that, to be fair, that shot was...
Fortunate.
It was still going in. It was going underneath Jan Sommer.
The form Jan Sommer was in, I'm not sure. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's so weird, that game, actually. Because it felt like it should have been such a convincing Sweden win, and yet you kind of just squeeze past them.
Mm-hmm. That's the Sweden way. You just can't do it any other way.
Mm.
Except it does against Mexico.
Against the Mexico team that was already through. Did they rest players for that game?
I'm just going to poke
you with a stick. Were they not? Two wins, were they?
Well, yeah, but if Germany beat South Korea...
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I was going to say...
Yeah, so they
but
they
them losing that game lost them the round of 16 game.
Yeah,
True, very true. That was a crazy turn of events like that game, the 3-0. It was 3-0 in the end, yeah, something like that. Anyway, we'll come on to our favourite moments of the tournament a little bit later on. But Sweden, like you said, Elias, a team that are very difficult to beat. I mean, we saw from the playoffs, like it was seen on a bigger stage, the playoff against Italy, how difficult you are to score against. For one of the biggest names in international football. Obviously, Germany got two against you, but apart from that, you've looked pretty solid.
Didn't even look bad against Germany. Of course, we
barely touched
a ball. But
on another day, Kroos doesn't score the absolute world in the last minute.
Yeah, and another day, we don't concede a free kick like that in the last minute of the game against Germany. It's felt really like confident watching the Swedish team during this World Cup and the playoffs, of course. There's been like a new reunited flame for football in Sweden after Zlatan decided to not come with us to the World Cup and not play in the qualifiers. It's just we looked like a team. We usually don't look like a team. We looked like a supporting squad for Mr. Zed, Mr. Zlatan, during these years of his. Well, it's not been bad, but we've not really had that. Like, if Zlatan is having a bad day, then yeah, we've been really bad as well. But it just feels like good to see other players coming through and actually doing something for the team and actually working as a team. And yeah, it's just nice to see, really.
Yeah, of course. Getting all the dubs. What's the feeling of Sweden like? Is this massive? I mean, getting to the World Cup in this way you did was sort of massively overachieving. But what's sort of the, you know, the minimum you can expect now from, you know, you as a country? What's sort of going into this quarterfinal against England? Is there a lot of confidence going into it? Is it sort of we should really give them a game, or is it sort of whatever way we go out, we've done ourselves proud sort of thing?
Well, this
sounds quite patronising, but I don't mean it to be.
This is the best Sweden performance at a World Cup since '94 when we finished third. So, of course, it's really hyped up, and people see that we are playing well. And I don't think it's like. Of course, we're confident. We've seen we can beat like major teams, and England haven't, like, even though you've been playing like decently over the past games in the World Cup, I still don't feel like you got that team feeling completely yet, and that's where I think Sweden can. I feel like we can do a lot of harm because we play very well together. And we can shut down those individual players that England have, like Sterling and Lingard and Kane, of course. I feel like we're very confident going into this game because we know we do well against England, even though the England side is relatively new.
Yeah. Svenger and Eriksson said it would be easier for England to beat Brazil than beat Sweden.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. Because
he's a man in the know. I don't know if I agree with that at all, I'll be honest. I'd much rather be on this side of the draw, no disrespect to any of the other nations, but
I think
Brazil puts a bit more fear in my heart.
I think in his literal statement, he's right. It would be easier to beat Brazil, but it'd be much easier for Brazil to beat us also. But it'd be much harder to beat Sweden just because they're defensively inept.
I'm not having that.
You're not?
Nah, because Sweden won't be playing for this isn't the Premier League. You can't just play for a draw in the World Cup knockout stages.
No,
I mean,
but
you can.
But like the Swedish way of playing, at least I'm sure will agree with me, is that they only have to score one goal in a lot of games and they'll win them. Because defensively, for an international team, they're very good. Especially from like set pieces, which seem to be where a lot of teams are coming undone in this World Cup.
I don't know. Still think Brazil are scarier.
Scarier, yeah. They've got potential to score more than Sweden, but I don't know. I see exactly where Sven's coming from, and given that I bought his classical music collection CD, I feel like me and Sven get along well.
Wait, what?
He released
on a deeper
classic,
level. On
he
a deeper
released
level.
A.
No, Michael, it doesn't need explaining.
Okay.
It doesn't need explaining.
Right, that's good.
But it's nice to know the majority of this call is on Sven's wavelength.
Could be worse. Could be Fabio Capello. Whoa, my God! Fabiola Capello.
That is the title
Fabio
of the podcast.
Capello.
From Fabiola Capello to Gareth Southgate, another world class manager.
Hey, he's got my watch.
He's got your watch. He's bringing football home, as it were.
I'm a
as
watch.
Been said many times. And why has he got your watch?
Bloody
did you give it to him as a good luck charm?
Yeah, and he's been wearing it ever since. Bless him.
Oh,
so like wait, if football comes home, is it down to me?
I mean, you played a part. I think we can all play a part. Well, probably not Ellis, because he
fans.
Doesn't want that to happen. It's the fact that we were there. We're
man.
The lucky charm. We're the Check and Doy. It's down to
Check and Doy.
But yeah, England winning a penalty shootout. I mean, it was madness. I mean, the fact that happened when we went a penalty down. That's the first penalty shootout they've won in my lifetime. And probably your lifetimes too, because you know I'm older, so that makes sense.
Nice.
Have Birmingham won a penalty shootout, Michael?
When was the last time they played in one?
Because
I don't think Spurs.
I think
what, have
yeah.
AIK ever won a penalty
I think
shootout.
No.
Yeovil.
I think they had one against Yeovil a few seasons back. And
big game.
was, actually.
What was that, the Charleston paint?
Do you know what I mean, Johnston's pain? When was the last time you won
a competition? The LDV Vans trophy.
Yeah, what was it, Worthington Cup?
Checker trade trophy, under-23s. Birmingham's under-23s against Yeovil. That's the last time. Go on, Elias, would you like to talk about your penalty shootout experiences?
No, I've already said that enough, but I just wanted you to acknowledge that. Chelsea won the Champions League.
Yeah, John Terry slipped over as well. England. I feel like we should be more ecstatic about England, but it's still like, it's kind of awkward. I feel like it's like the elephant in the room is the fact that Elias is here.
Hello.
No, I'm just really tired from watching England because it stressed me beyond belief.
And insulting Colombians, which is pretty much what your Twitter.
Hey.
Twitter was last night.
Yeah, but it wasn't like racism. It was just insulting, which is a fine line.
The fact you have to justify yourself is worrying, I'll be honest.
Yeah, you were also mugging off the Argentinians because of Maradona, I saw that.
Yeah, but Maradona's just...
Michael, is there any part of South America you do like?
Hey, I've been to Colombia and it was a very nice place and I was made to feel very welcome.
Okay. Because you've said Brazil were worse than Sweden, you've insulted Argentina and Colombia.
Correct. Chile's nice.
What other ones?
I like Chile.
They're not at the World Cup, so they're not...
I know, but I like Chile.
What about Panama? Are they classed as
South
American?
That's Central America.
I wasn't going by the CONCACAF
Atlas. They've just got a canal. Did you know that the unemployment rate in Panama is 0%?
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. Move on.
Did you know there's only 300,000 people in Iceland?
How can there be 300,000 people in Iceland when there's only 3,000 people in the world?
When our eyes aren't real. Yeah. Okay. That's England and Sweden covered, I think. Right, I didn't want to go into a preview of this game, so just quick score predictions. Go on.
5-0 Sweden.
Nice.
Weird, because you say 5-0 Sweden, but I say 8-0 England, so...
Oh. He's nicked my thing. That's the good luck charm now, Michael. The fact that predictions, I'm going to have to say 8-0 England every time.
Oh, and here's the excuse again.
I'm going
to
say
2-1. Hey, to be fair, you got a point in Matt's league for getting the correct winner,
I thought it was going to be... No, I didn't get the correct winner. I thought it was going to be, if it was 1-0, I would have got 2 points, but it finished 1-1, didn't it? So.
For the Sweden game, what did I predict? I predicted 1-1, so technically you got me a point for that.
I'm going 2-1 England.
You're actually going serious.
Harry Kane and Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck.
Jamie Vardy's not available.
You're making Aiden eat his loaf.
What did Aiden say?
Did he eat a whole meal? What was it? Loaf of whole meal bread or something like that.
Ooh.
For every goal that Danny Welbeck scores at the World Cup.
Fair. I'm surprised you haven't offered a wager for this game yet, Elias. Loser shaves their head.
I'm not shaving my head.
After the last wager where you backed out, Phil.
Yeah.
What wager?
One where you had to dye your hair if you went to
Russia. No, I never agree to this.
Despite you
bringing those two suited men to our room. Trying to force me down to dye my hair.
No, you mean the man.
Dye your hair, yeah.
The man that lured us into the taxi.
Yeah. The hitman guy.
We'll come on to that later.
Preview for part three. Elias had his bag carried by a member of the mafia.
Allegedly.
It was 100%.
Was it? Where's the evidence? You'd make a fantastic lawyer. Right, we need to go. He left you a note. He asked for your room and your phone number. That's why you got a new SIM card.
That's why I got called three times in a taxi.
Right, okay, we're going to part two. We won't be long. Right, welcome back to part two of the Indie Mixer podcast. Back here with Michael Ellis again. I'm just going to keep saying that because I'm not actually sure if Ellis is going to be here for part four. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I've titled this part the biggest floppers part.
No, the buggest flippers.
The buggest flippers part. Who wants to?
That's the title of the podcast.
I've left you some little nuggets in there. Some little teams that had an absolute mare of a tournament. But are there any you want to specifically take? Elias, I'll go to you first. Considering Michael's got a mouthful of sausage.
It's actually chicken, but
you can make chicken sausages.
All right, fair play.
Yeah, you're damn right. Go on, Elias. Slate Panama for me.
I never want to hear you say those words again.
The Panamaniacs, take him down.
No, but I'm going to be serious and just say that Germany probably. Even though they beat Sweden in the group stage, they never really looked like a team. They never really looked like they were gonna even beat Sweden to that point. If Jimmy Dermas didn't go in for that stupid tackle just outside the box, then
can't leave him alone. He got enough abuse. Yeah. He got enough abuse by the look of it. Some very unnecessary, interesting things.
Yeah, interesting things. Well, Germans did
racist and offensive things.
Well, the Germans did the same to Mesut Özil when he came home, didn't they? So.
And that makes it okay.
No, it doesn't. But
that justifies everything.
That just says that Germany are the biggest flops because they have a racially abused player at home and we got one in Russia. So
unlucky.
It. Yeah, unlucky. But yeah, I just think that Germany they just never looked like they were in this World Cup. Especially not against Germany. Mexico. Germany against Germany. Well, that could be a thing since they weren't very good.
But I don't know. I think like when they got that winner against Sweden, you thought for the games in between that and South Korea, even for the majority of the South Korea game, I personally just assumed they were going to win, just because that's what Germany does. Mm. It was like, it was so weird the fact that they didn't go through.
But
and
the
then
warning
after,
signs were all there.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is like that's just the German.
Yeah,
that's
German
just the
way.
German thing.
German
yeah.
Leg. Yep.
First time they haven't got out of the group for the World Cup since 1938.
Coming down.
England didn't win the 1938 World Cup. But
hey. Wasn't that like the third? Were England even in
Italy,
that?
Italy, I think. I think we might have done. I think that might have been one of the first ones we entered where we were like, yeah, Billy Big Bollocks.
Let
and
me
we
guess,
got smashed
Uruguay
by the USA
won,
like 11-0. No, I think it was Italy. Uruguay won 30 and 34.
No, Uruguay was 1930. That was the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then they won 34-2, oh, I think. Nice. I think it's Italy. I think it's Italy.
34-2 is not a year, Phil.
Yeah. Okay. Michael, what do you? Did you want to continue on your Germany slating, Ellis, or do you want to?
No, sorry, I thought you were
going to. Do you want to put the foot into Michael because he was very upset watching from the stands against Mexico?
Well, yeah, he was very upset. He was probably the only German supporter in that part of the stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was quite fun to just
no,
look to my left and see.
Apart from the bloke behind us. Who wore a Jamie
yeah,
shirt?
Who followed us around
day,
the entire time?
The next day we saw him in a Brazil shirt. The next day he was at the Poland game with a Poland top on.
That's not a joke. It's literally the same bloke. Yeah. It's not going to look the same. Literally the same bloke.
And not even joking, he was sat right behind us in the first game and then sat right behind us in the second game. Couldn't write
yeah.
it.
What, wasn't he at the fan fest as well?
Yeah, in the Brazil
yeah,
shirt.
That's where the Brazil
is. With a load of other Brazilians.
Well, he's multilingual, maybe.
I thought that. I was like, he must be some like mad crazy doctor from Russia that's just fitting in with everyone.
I thought he had a bit of the Thomas Müllers about him, but maybe that's just all German.
See, no, I thought that. He looked German.
Yeah. But then he may not have been German because he had so many. He may not have even been German the whole time.
He wore the most
Italian?
Polish stuff because he had a Polish shirt and a scarf. So he might have been Polish.
Maybe. Anyway, Michael, who were your biggest floppers of the tournament?
Spain. I think.
I like how we're going in order here. That's good.
Oh, but Phil, have I got to mention Argentina so you can bring up Portugal, your favourite team?
No. These are just the four big ones, so I was just going to...
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, Spain,
bring up
for
the ones
me, Germany, I think... I don't know whether I said it in the podcast, but I definitely have said before the World Cup that I think Germany might be a surprise, like, poor team.
Oh, shut up.
I did.
I don't think you said that.
No.
I said it to everyone at work.
You said that about the Euros, and then you predicted them to win it.
Yeah, I did that with this one.
We predicted them to win.
I don't think you did. I think you very much...
Okay, well,
I think we all did.
At work,
I think we, none
I was
of us
slated,
saw
because everyone was like, oh, well, yeah, it's Germany. They always have everything. But, yeah, regardless, I still think Spain, they didn't perform. That was the thing. And while they did get out of the group, there was no performance there. And I think that even... starts from sacking the manager like a few days before. I think that goes with the like underachieving.
Yeah, I also think that makes my prediction of them doing well void actually as well.
No, it doesn't. No, we've got.
Yes, it
this.
Does. Come
it
on, doesn't. You can't no. sack a manager before the tournament and
well,
then
you
not allow.
They did.
No,
well,
that
they
completely
did.
Changed. That completely changed it. If we'd had a podcast between now and then, I would have said Spain are going to have a Torre tournament.
No.
They literally did my France prediction. They were just France for me.
Do you know what else I'm going to say, Phil? Not Argentina. I'm going to say Poland.
Yeah, Poland. I agree.
Fair.
Because they had a ridiculous qualifying campaign, and I know that they had a relatively easy qualifying group, but they showed absolutely nothing. nothing at all. They were so, so poor.
Yeah, there was no players that showed up at all. And it was just like, it was such a shock because that was the first, well, that was, it was Senegal the first game they played in the group?
Yeah, the one we saw, yeah.
And just didn't show up. Like, Senegal just ran straight through them. And Lewandowski was nowhere to be found. And you, like, of course, Phil always wants his Lewandowski. Oh, I call this. He's not good for Poland.
It's going to be awkward when he signs for Spurs this year.
Yeah. It's just, I didn't, like, usually when I see Poland, I see, like, fighting spirit. I see, like, I see a team that actually, like, works for each other, but nobody was running. Nobody was, like, even trying to do anything. They were just completely, like, static on the field, and, it's just,
There's got to be something that ran deeper than just, like, they didn't turn up at the World Cup, because, like you said, there was no passion at all. Yeah. Like, zero. And even when they were losing these games, it just didn't matter.
I think Poland are like England before Southgate. Like, amazing in qualifying to get to the big tournament, they just can't be asked. Although I don't, it's not even they can't be asked, they just can't do it. I'm not sure why. I didn't like the fact that when we saw him, Lewandowski just kicked. Because obviously he got a lot of goals in qualifying for both this and the Euros.
He was the top scorer both across the world, wasn't he? Or was it Ronaldo?
Something like that. But then at both the big tournaments, the Euros and this one, he seems to like want to take it, which is good because you want players to step up and take the ball, the game by the scruff of the neck. But when your main striker, who's known for scoring goals and being, you know, scoring goals in the penalty area, when he's coming deep to collect the ball, and when he's, that's not his best asset. You've turned a fantastic world class striker into a good midfielder.
Yeah,
like, or, you know what I mean. And that's not going to benefit them at all.
And that's that's definitely a key thing in the. It's almost worse in coming back. In fact, it's definitely worse in coming back than just staying up there and hoping your team get an opportunity that you'll score. So
I don't want to slate every single Poland player. I know that one completely played differently than he did for the whole entirety of the season. And that's Krakowiak. Krakowiak actually looked like the player that he used to be. For a few moments of this World Cup, and especially when he scored that, it was a brilliant header against Senegal. But he just looked like he could still do something in the footballing world, because when he signed for West Brom, I know that you shouldn't have expectations, but I think me and Michael were like, oh, that's a brilliant signing for West Brom.
No, I think it was me and you, Elias, who were like, it was a brilliant signing. No, I don't think Michael liked it very much.
What?
I think Michael said it was a good signing.
Oh, maybe we all agreed then.
Yeah.
Sure.
My bad.
Just coming to like a small English... Well, I say small English team. Can I say that, Michael?
Yes!
Yeah, okay. A small Birmingham team. And just... And just completely goes to shit. Completely. And at the World Cup, he showed like he can still pass, he can still score like headers, he is still a presence in the midfield. But no one around him was doing anything. So a defensive midfielder doing everything for your team is not ideal.
Any other floppers, Michael? Or should I give you a couple?
I'll tell you what. You give me a couple. And I'll tell you what. I'll guess two, and you'll give me £10 if I get them correct.
I mean, I could go off personal.
I got a better
disappointment.
I got better. Phil.
Go on.
I can name two, and I get to shave your head if I do it right.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. Okay. What I was going to actually say is Iceland and Peru.
Iceland and Peru. I'm shaving your head.
Shit, he's got him. Balls. No, Argentina were the thing is, Argentina, I don't even know if I can say they were flops, because I don't think many people predicted them getting beyond the round of 16, in all honesty. Like, I know they have Messi and all these great players, but the way they got into the tournament, like the absolute just ridiculous circumstances that the country's in as a footballing nation, it's just they kind of did par. Like, I don't think anyone really expected them to beat France, did they? I mean it was the whole Messi-Ronaldo narrative, which was pretty horrendous when that was on.
Yeah, wasn't it the Argentinian fans that drew Brazil things on their like garage doors or whatever?
Yeah, there's one street. No, Brazilian fans. Yeah, one street in Brazil decided they were sick of 2014 7-1 loss to Germany. A semi-final, let's not forget. So they just decided they were going to support Argentina for this World Cup.
Oh, it was that. Okay.
A lot of better teams to support than Argentina. There's so many good teams to support, but it was a weird one.
It's not about the glory, though, is it, Phil?
Well, it is when you support England. Something we saw as well, the South Americans seem to get very much behind one another, didn't they, when they're out there?
Yeah, and they brought, like, the South Americans brought so many fans to the World Cup. I was, like, I didn't think that the majority would be South Americans. Like, even though we know their passion for football and, like, supporting your team, there were so many South Americans and Central Americans there. It was insane.
Yeah, you're right.
To be fair, it is probably safer to walk the streets of Moscow than any South American country, so...
That could be true. And I don't think any South American countries particularly... Actually, well, I was going to say,
yeah, retract that comment.
You got an issue with Russia, but then I can't really say that, you know, confidently.
Yeah, you're still under Russian oath while your visa's valid.
Is it valid? Is it still? I suppose it is.
Well, you need to get it like stamped again because they did another stamp on your passport.
My fan ID is valid until the 17th of July.
So yeah, your fan ID, but not your passport.
Hop over there. All right. Need to get my picture updated, don't I?
Well, we need to get England's extended because we need to make sure it's got enough time.
They only did visas for the quarters. They didn't put it anywhere. They're fucking idiots. Yeah, the other team was Portugal, who I thought. I mean, but again, like I don't even think I predicted them through the group, so I don't know if I can say that was a.
You just slated the whole Messi Ronaldo thing, and then put up Argentina and Portugal as the flops.
Well, no, this is what I'm saying. I mean, they were regarded as flop. I don't particularly think either of them. Who did Portugal go out to in the end? Actually,
Uruguay.
Fish. Uruguay. So it's not particularly.
I don't even think Portugal were that bad. Like I usually slate Portugal. I don't think they were like super bad. I think
they were very lucky not to lose to Iran, I'll be honest.
Yeah, well, they were.
In that last group game, yeah. That oh, man, that would have been...
Imagine.
Iran versus Uruguay. I feel so bad for Iran. They were so good.
They had a ridiculous... They're probably one of the biggest overachievers so far. And they went out in the group stages.
No, I think they... I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. I think they should have got through the groups. I predicted them to go through the groups, didn't I? I think.
I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, I did.
You give us all sorts of combinations, so.
I remember them sometimes.
Spain only when it benefits me.
Didn't you have Morocco to top the group?
That was probably me.
No, I think it actually might have been me. I'm going to retract that. Cut that out.
No, yeah, I think both of you. No, I think Elias predicted Morocco, and then he just. No, you
predicted
Portugal.
Iran top. And Portugal, I think.
No, you predicted Portugal and then Spain because you really wanted to put Spain out. Yeah. No, it was France you wanted to put out, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, and then I didn't.
I predicted Spain and Morocco, so there you go.
Yeah, I didn't put Spain out, France out in the end.
Yeah, so I think Iran very unlucky, and they did provide us with one of the best moments of the tournament.
What, the throw-in?
The roly-poly throw-in. which never was.
That's on my list.
Disappointingly.
That's coming in. Part 4, if I'm right.
Wait, what? Okay, we'll come to that. He'll be a hero or villain. We don't know which. We will find out. Right, that is the biggest floppers over. We are... I don't know why that made me laugh. I'm a child. That is the end of part 2. We'll be back for part 3 in just a minute. Hello, welcome back to part 3 of the In The Mixer podcast. Michael, did you know Andreas Granqvist's wife is due to give birth any day now?
Oh.
Yeah, but he's come out and said he's not going to miss the England game.
But what if his wife gives birth? Is he going to miss the birth of his child?
Yeah, he literally said he's going to miss the birth of his child.
Which is worse, that or Bateson nearly missing a 500k pack opening? To be fair, I don't know which I'd rather watch, to be honest, Sweden against England or Bateson's 500k pack opening from
a
hospital
ward. Or a woman giving birth?
Yeah.
Like, what? Jeez. I mean, I've seen two of those three things. I've never watched Bateson do a pack opening. Bateson, why are we talking about him? Do we need to give some form of like
apology?
No, let's just leave it out. If you don't know who Bateson is, you're probably a better person for it. Russia's performance Russia's performance performances, I should say. Most enjoyably viewed from the backseat of a taxi while the driver's watching it. I've got to be honest.
Hey, two I was fantastic in the front performances. And it was a much better view.
Two fantastic performances in the group stages and an awesome win against the Spaniards. And it's made the tournament a lot better, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The fact they're doing so well.
Oh!
Okay. Yeah, it definitely has made the.
Can only assume Zuba just tried to win a header over Elias there.
with the microphone on Juba.
Yeah, guys, you can talk about.
Yeah, did I say that Russia were going through? Yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah, I think you both called the Russia. I did not. I put them bottom.
Nice. And I was getting a Juba shirt in Russia, but I couldn't find one. So that's
it. Oh, don't get me started about for trying to find shirts in Russia.
We'll get the Dan. And I just love the man. Like, Juba can come to Sweden and play for Sweden if he wants to.
Isn't that just Chelsea? Oh,
yes.
Thing is, Golovin and Juba to Chelsea.
He was linked with like a few big moves a few seasons ago. Was it a Galatasaray where he had that ridiculous season? Where was it?
Wait, who are we even talking about?
Juba. Where was it?
He's been at Zenit, hasn't he? The whole time.
Has he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Spartak and Zenit. Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was at Spartak where he had a ridiculous season then. I swear he was like rumored with like all sorts of like ridiculous moves, but it just never happened. And then he just like pops up at this World Cup, proving everyone that he's still a god.
It's amazing because he wasn't even the first choice striker at the start of the tournament. And he came on against Saudi Arabia.
It just seems like a winning concept for this World Cup, like Belgium do with Fellaini and what Russia do with Juba. Just like put a massive man in the box and he'll score.
Mm.
And it's just like he's got like an eye for a goal, and especially when he took that penalty and Michael was having absolutely you put the bet on for him to score any time, I think, and he steps up and takes that penalty and Michael's like, yeah, I did that. And they look like, I enjoy watching Russia play because they take risks. They shoot from like 30 yards out. They put crosses in from very deep and just hope that Juba will somehow get there.
I think that's more the fact that they don't want to run so far. Although, have you seen the stats of them? Their stats of distance they've got the best in the tournament of things like distance traveled and yard sprinted and things like that. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, like there's been a lot of good players coming out as well in the in the Russia squad, especially Juba and Golovin, of course, has had a really good World Cup. But also Mario Fernandes, I've been really impressed with. I've never really watched him play. I watched him for CSKA Moscow when AIK played them in the Europa League and beat them. and he was definitely not that good back then. But he's really like stepped up to the occasion. And you can really see like they work for each other. The only like weakness I really see in that team is probably Ignashevich in the 38-year-old in the center of the back three. I feel like that's where most teams should have looked. They probably did, but I just don't feel like they really took the chance to exploit that enough. Because he's looked slow, he's looked a bit sluggish, and definitely not a world-class defender. Definitely not a top-class defender at all. Especially since he's 38 years old now as well, and he's been playing for a really long time. He's probably past it.
Well, they needed someone there, to be fair. He has.
It's better than the Berezutsky brothers, I think.
Well, I mean, we saw them at the Euros. They didn't really set the tournament on fire. But we had controversial opinions. We clashed on Twitter, us three, I think, in the penalty incident. You can release their kids now. Putin tweets at us all over Twitter, which are all horrendous.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty clear penalty.
I think I saw a good explanation of it. I can't find it now. So
convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, but Ramos was.
Wasn't even Ramos. It was the PK one. It was on PK. It was the one PK. I thought was the penalty. Yeah, PK got brought down as well. In the exact same thing. For some reason, Ramos got the attention, which I think that's probably a penalty as well. But
no,
the PK one is all one way.
I don't know.
Then maybe that's karma for a stupid handball earlier.
I can't believe he actually like tried to peel that because he was like, "Oh, no. I just had my hands up," but he like jumped up with both his arms and left one arm up, like put the other one down.
He didn't even leave it up; he put it back up. Like, yeah, I don't know. Worst thing. some of the penalties that have been given for handball and VAR this tournament have,
let's not get started on that,
wound me up, but that one was ridiculous. But yeah, I thought we'd talk a bit about our experience with Russia and the place, considering we went there, and we don't want to be too, you know, propagandary, but I think we can all agree we had quite a pleasant time over there.
We did. Definitely. We really did.
Yeah, I tweeted when we got home. It did. It was, the expectations were almost like very unpredictable. I kind of went in with like very high hopes, but there was an underlying like possibility that it could have been a really bad World Cup, definitely with what the media reported in Europe. But it was complete opposite, and I think Russia's done excellent and held a brilliant tournament so far, and really like been a credit to their country, which is what I actually expected, because it's such an international competition. Why would you not want it to go well and prove your country to be a brilliant country? It's...
Yeah, no one wants it to be a better tournament than the host nation, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think the little quirks about it and perhaps the bluntness of its residents sometimes were a bit jarring, but that's just that's just what you got to expect, I suppose, when you go to a different country. You just got to accept that culture and that sort of response from people who hate Englishmen.
I don't know. I feel like the language barrier is what creates that sort of.
The funniest line we heard was when we arrived at the hotel and you asked, "Do you speak English?" And he just straight up said, "No."
Oh, he was right, wrong hotel. It was very blunt, but how else do you say, "Oh no, sorry, I don't speak English," without speaking English?
Yeah, yeah. You did also fall asleep in their restaurant.
Yeah,
and in the lobby.
I'd been up for like 30 hours.
And you weren't the most destructive person that morning in the hotel. So.
Yeah. To be fair, me and Elias had been drinking all day before that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not that much.
Well, I don't know. I was on a train. I was working then on a train.
Phil was flapping beyond belief.
And then I fell asleep on a woman on the plane. So
he did. He did.
Enjoyed that.
A very small woman.
She was smaller by the time.
If we had to summarize, would you say it's like cheap and I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a particularly pretty place everywhere.
No, it's got great fountains. Great fountains.
Oh.
Context.
Worst smallest fountain near our hotel, yet Phil for some reason obsessed over it and longed to get a photograph of it before we left. We never got that photo. No,
never. Was
never allowed it.
Also, for a country where everyone smokes, finding cigarettes was quite difficult, which is also a thing that we struggled with.
Not once did my mind go, "Hey, you know
I was
what?
Expecting like vending machines and stuff." You know what I mean? I was expecting like little robots to be carrying them around, selling them. But...
You've played far too many games. If that's what you're impressed, like you expect everyone to be sat there with like the longest cigarette, just like on a street corner, don't you?
I'm just saying, Michael. iRobot set in 2030. So just saying. Robots should be here soon.
Okay.
That's the point.
Cheap SIM cards. Cheap taxis.
Mine is still going. I still got money on it.
Still getting texts.
I haven't got it in my phone. Why would I still have it in my phone?
Just to see what's going on.
It only works in Moscow.
I found that a bit strange, but I wouldn't say Moscow's a particularly pretty place. Although we didn't really head.
It's very big.
It's just big and very.
The buildings are very pretty. The buildings are pretty. Most of them. Not most. A lot.
Apart from the Kremlin, which was rubbish.
Wow.
It wasn't even the best it wasn't even the best building in Aisha.
The best building that we were was the Universitetskaya.
Yeah.
Building I can't remember.
Which you refused to say was a university.
Yeah, but it's a university.
It is a university.
Said this the whole time. It's a university. No, it's not a university. The entire time.
They picked a good setting for the fan zone, actually.
They
I wanted to walk around the whole place.
Have you seen pictures of it? Like without everything on it, like the actual like university place.
No,
it's one of the biggest squares in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I can understand that because it was pretty huge.
And
the biggest square.
Yeah, I don't know what like I read about it. And it's one University Sky Square. Let's see, it's a big open space. Blah, blah blah. It's one of the biggest squares in the world, covering an area of approximately 130,000 square meters.
I mean, can't squares be infinite? in theory.
This is
It's a controversial wording of.
You honestly say some rubbish on this podcast.
Can you not have an infinite square? That's possible, surely.
It's called a parallelogram.
He's not. Let's leave this.
Why are we not talking about football? What was your favourite moment over there then? Quickly.
Favourite moment over there? I don't know, having 10 pints of Budweiser in 2 hours, probably. And being sick of the toilet.
Seeing a man vomit on the tier of my life.
Oh no, I forgot about that.
Oh no, oh yeah, I forgot about that as well. The Mexican. Lived in Stockholm.
Mexicans arguing with each other.
Oh yeah.
It was kicking off.
Can we just actually highlight the guy being sick a little more?
He wasn't even that. Like, before, I think it was before the game, they threw beer, like, over the thing.
Yeah.
And it's
stupid.
So, for context, we were sat in the majority of Mexico fans in the upper tier, and they were a little bit, there was a small group next to us that were a little bit boisterous, shall say.
It's a party atmosphere.
Yeah, but they were smoking, being told off for smoking, things like that, and they were throwing beer over the top of the...
That was at the end.
No, the smoking was right at the start of the game.
Yeah. Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is probably when I was waiting in line for 30 minutes buying a pint.
But throwing the beer over the top wasn't actually the worst thing they did. At what point was it? Was it midway through the second half?
The first half.
It was the first half.
It was literally first half.
At the corner of my eye, I just see one of the lads stand up and look sort of over the top, and from his nose and mouth comes the brownest of liquids, which manages to not only go over the top of the barrier, but all over the people below, which were wearing Germany shirts, which are white. So it was clear to see what it was, and I was hoping just for their sake that they thought someone had just spilt a beer over the top rather than just vomited on their heads. And it also went all over the glass and all over the sort of little ledge in front. He was dragged away by his friend. Oh, in fact, he walked out, and then 40 minutes later, after Mexico had scored...
Ham and cheese panini.
About 4 of them in the bag as well.
Yeah, so that's
and
yeah.
They argued with other Mexico fans because of
what? Mexico fans might have literally left before full time because they were so mad at this other like
what,
guy.
Why were they mad
throwing,
at them?
Throwing paper down there or something.
Oh throwing, like, no, they were throwing the wristbands.
And wristbands. Yeah, they threw everything and they spilled beer. Like
no, they weren't throwing the wristband. He dropped the wristband. Remember, because he was going to climb over the fucking. He was going to climb over the protective layer to get his
cigarette
wristband back.
No, he did that otherwise, to try and get it. He got his cigarette back doing that as well because he dropped it down.
Yeah, I saw that.
But a
Russian man sat in the wrong seat, and that pretty much sums up that game.
No, it wasn't. It was a French. The French guy got thrown out because
that was a different thing. But you missed the disabled people next to me.
Oh no, I didn't.
There you go then. Phil did. Phil missed the majority of everything because he decided to go for a beer, which took 40 minutes.
No, hang on. I decided to get you guys a beer. Then loads of Mexican people trying to push in front of me in the queue. I was like, I'm not having this.
I'm English. I'm in Russia. Everyone's queuing behind me.
Get in the queue.
Oh, pow. Back there.
So what was your favourite moment? Or are you taking the man puking?
Mine
was the ongoing fire. That was good.
The ongoing fire? Well, that's at the hotel.
The continual fire, yeah.
Yeah, it's
pretty,
it was a war
memorial.
No,
you can't
call
it an ongoing fire and make it sound like some sort of arson gone wrong. It was an actual war.
Okay, no, a really good part of the trip was, you know, finally getting to eat in our hotel restaurant, having a really nice meal, and then somehow ordering a Budweiser, which costs more than the actual meal.
It was so cheap the whole trip, and it was undone on the final night by a £9 Budweiser.
It's pretty good because I ordered a Löwenbräu, a German lager, and that was £5, I think.
No, £3. Oh, £3 yours was.
Literally, we could have gone to a stadium and bought 3 pints for that price.
We could in a memorabilia cup.
Or we could have bought a pint in this country and bought the World Cup cup from Amazon for £6. yeah. Okay. Any other favourite moments, or should we move on to part four?
I haven't given mine yet.
Okay.
Well, I'm waiting.
All right, so number one, Harry Kane's winner.
Number one, Harry Kane's winner.
Number two, negotiating with a member of the mafia, going from 5,000 rubles to 2,500. That is almost 60% reduction. Oh, and not getting killed in that taxi.
Yeah, not getting like, that stuff stolen on the first day.
Yeah.
Tired taxi drivers.
You fell asleep. I'm pretty sure. Was it an energy drink or a can of Strongbow we had in the front? Either way, it didn't help our situation. Phil getting shouted at by a Russian man in the taxi. Breaking the law multiple times by skipping through the toll booths. And then making it to the hotel alive. Oh, to only find two Mexican blokes on the radio in Houston.
Oh, yeah. And the guys, we came to the hotel at like 6 a.m. And the first thing we see is two Mexicans walking in the front doors screaming with beers in their hands. And it just comes up to us. Yeah.
Is in like a really small district in Moscow.
I was like, what has Michael booked us in for?
To be fair, the shit on floor 50 ruble was definitely
break the bed. Break the bed 50 ruble.
Phil breaking the bed within 5 minutes. Shotgun not the rollout bed.
Oh, okay. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be us having a great time. But the listeners just no idea what we're talking about.
No, it's all just no yet to be there. That's it.
Sorry about that. We should probably cut all this out. what other moments were good? I don't know.
Brilliant. So many good moments.
Oh, yeah. Meeting all the different fans and fans coming up to Elias specifically and saying how much they hate Spartak Moscow just because he was wearing an AIK shirt.
Spartak? What?
Was it Spartak? Sorry, or was it CSK? Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. I was wearing the AIK shirt to both games, and no, to one game. The other one was the Chelsea shirt. The picture, Michael, when you're standing with the Senegal flag, and I'm just leaning over the. The
meme. Right, that's got the end of the mixer. That's got the end. But
man,
getting confused for a Chelsea fan because they had an Italian Di Matteo shirt on. That's another interesting one.
I high-fived an Iranian.
You did. You also found a Nagatomo. Uchida.
Uchida. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got a high five from a Russian man and sat down on the floor.
Yeah.
And we also had a chimney driving us to the airport when we were going home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And he fell asleep. Hey, that's the first time.
Taxi driver's probably the nicest people we met.
Oh, also, if you don't have a cracked windscreen in Russia, you're not cool. Or your car's new.
No, the taxi drivers are all pretty sound.
What, they didn't say anything except the guy that tried to talk a bit of English?
No, I mean...
Oh, I got a present from a taxi driver and then they confiscated from me.
You could have kept the tin.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I panicked. When some 6'5", built like a brick shithouse Russian bloke goes, put that in the bin. You put it in the bin and don't start negotiations about what's going in the bin.
But you're trying to trespass when you're getting out of the stadium, Michael, and get absolutely demolished by two guards holding their hands.
Yeah, you know, all these Russian army guys that look like they're really sweet. You try to take a shortcut. No! Net! Net.
Right, I'm gonna blend part three and four together because I think we can just zoom through. Cause favourite moments of the tournament.
Welcome to part four.
Favorite moments of the tournament, not including what we.
I've got three things.
Okay, go on.
Well, I didn't want to be biased and say anything about Sweden, so I got three non-Swedish things. Otherwise, everything Swedish related is on this.
Brilliant.
So that's number one. Number two is, of course, the throw-in we've already discussed. Yep.
Awesome.
It's not even allowed. You're not even allowed to do that, I think.
A staple of modern football. I think that's going to be replayed on every montage of this World Cup.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the fact that he doesn't even throw the ball.
Yeah, because I don't think he's allowed to do it.
No, I don't think you are.
At what point through the roly-poly did you think he realised?
Well, you can see him like... He's not fussed. He's done this before.
It's actually a signature move in the Iranian.
Do you think he was trying to do the front flip? Do you think... Do you think he was going for the front flip? Because it was a sloped sort of pitch, so I don't know whether he was... I don't know.
No.
I don't know, it was pretty bad, especially in the, like, 90th minute of the game. It's like, oh, we need a goal, let's do a flip. Oh, man. Third, Batshuayi versus England. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The kick at the end, the ball in the face.
It's just Batshuayi summed up. And my final one is Benjamin Pavard's goal against Argentina. Because that is my favourite goal of the World Cup so far.
Really?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. I can't even remember the goal, my favourite. What have been the good ones? Because the Nacho one was very good. It's sort of, the tournament really started on a really upward trajectory. And it sort of had that lull, didn't it?
Ooh, can I say one more thing?
Of course.
There's only been one game without a goal, and that was Denmark versus France. So yeah, that's why
there was another game on at the same time. Yeah, I think that's one of my top favorite moments. Just
well, nil-nil.
So many. Yeah, Fekir having a shot from outside the box. just so many underdogs reigning supreme. We've seen that side of the draw. You know, one of the teams in. You know, there's only one team. No, there's only two teams on that side of the draw who have been in the final before. So it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting times.
One of them is sweet.
One of them is England, and they face off this Saturday. Yeah. Sorry, Michael, you got any favourite moments?
Pickford saving Bakker's penalty, Harry Kane scoring versus Tunisia, Harry Kane winning me £17 when I put a pound on. That's not happened yet. But
oh, I've got another good moment. Manuel Neuer playing left wing for Germany.
Oh, and it going so horribly wrong!
What even was that? I don't know. The pure, just keep the keeper back and just push the last defender forward. I don't know. We said Neuer. I think. Wait, what did we say? Did we say Neuer was going to have a bad tournament, or Neuer was a question mark going into the tournament?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have the most convincing. Even with that aside, some of his goalkeeping was questionable. Obviously, next season
is the amount of frauds that have been exposed this World Cup. It's fantastic.
This is always questionable. Go on.
Name. Okay.
You got any names? No. Okay.
Name them.
Yeah. Name some frauds, and we'll.
Mohamed Salah. There we go.
Joachim Löw.
Won a World Cup. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
It's coming.
Is it Julian Brandt?
That's it. Löw signed a new deal. Hit the post in every game, I think. Julian Brandt.
All the players that play in the Chinese league.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Get Chadli in there for Belgium next game.
There's some good ones coming up.
Rafael Marquez. Starting one game and getting subbed off at half time. Yeah.
Kimmich.
Kimmich was like Germany's only good player.
No.
You're forgetting Plattenhardt, at least.
Plattenhardt, yeah. World player.
This is going to go on for a while, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you might want to cut these bits out. And then the opposite side, the players that you see are so good, like Godin and Kante.
So we already knew these things.
No, but they're just confirmed as the best in the world. And you're like, wow, they really are the best in the world. Harry Kane.
What penalty
Jordan
merchant?
Pickford.
Penalty saving merchant.
Niang running off the pitch and scoring, that was a good one.
Oh my god, that was a good one, actually.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The only thing that can top it now is... It was about to come out loud, but I actually can't say it.
The only thing that can top it now is moving on to Heroes and Villains.
Maradona dying.
The tournament so far. I mean, that kind of almost happened, so that's I have to... Yeah.
You have to cut that out.
I don't know if
don't
I can be bothered.
Don't leave
Heroes and Villains for the tournament. Michael, I think you're probably a villain. So,
probably. He's
wanted
should
we just
put
ourselves in the heroes?
Yeah.
Is that too arrogant?
And then the four teams that we nominated for biggest flippers.
Buggest flippers.
As the Gary Southgate for wearing my watch.
France for being great athletes.
Japan for being an amazing team.
Oh, shut up, you shithousery. Senegal go. Japan villains. Japan villains for knocking out Senegal.
No,
on fair play.
No, yes. That is not their
on
fault.
Fair play.
How is that
their
fault?
That is a disgrace.
That is a disgrace. No. It's okay.
You know what else is a villain?
What?
VAR for starting off really well and then turning to shit.
No.
It started off so promisingly and they're just rubbish.
No. What teams did we say were our underdogs or the... The overachievers. Yeah, you said Croatia. Dark horses. Dark horses, yeah.
I have this written somewhere.
I said Japan. What did Phil say?
I feel Portugal?
Like Portugal, probably. No, he didn't.
It wasn't Serbia. I think you're gonna have to hold on, guys. You're gonna have to hold on.
Because I said Japan, and I think Japan had a decent performance. Michael's still in there.
I hate Japan.
I should have said Russia.
To be fair, this is what happened though. Like, we all made the predictions and then completely went against them in everything we said.
What?
Like you're well, not against them, but like you said Japan, but then hyped over Russia so much.
You're too fair. Not even in Russia what? Playing, but I don't mean 4th of July.
I was close to having my unique bet going in, and both of yours died pretty quickly, didn't they?
Well, mine could still happen.
Mine died that quick. How many red cards has there been? Oh, two now, isn't it?
No, it's like four.
That what?
Yeah.
That what?
Sanchez,
Jerome Boateng.
Oh yeah, Jerome Boateng.
The Russian guy who got sent off.
Oh, the Russian guy.
Switzerland got one sent off yesterday.
Yeah, that was
good. Mo Salah. Mo Salah sent back to Scousland.
That is like a sending
off. That's why for hitting himself in the face.
No, that's a blessing.
Blessing in disguise.
Yeah, he's just a walking meme at this point.
He's always been a walking meme. Yeah. That's why he's so good. That's why he won us the league.
Why have I not got these predictions anymore? I can't find them. I have to find it for the next episode, if there ever is a next episode.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. We need a theme tune and an outro music.
I can make that.
Hit the beat.
What's up?
Night fever.
no.
Right. We are done today with our World Cup special. Probably the only one. Maybe there might be a second one at some point. I don't know.
It
depends if there's no football. Because that's the only time we want to record, because we like watching it. Thank you very much, Michael Ennis, for being with me today.
No worries.
Thank you
very much for being accompanying me on that trip. It was lovely being with you both.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay, would you like to say goodbye to the listeners and give them a special farewell?
Do svidaniya.
Goodbye.
Well, you're not even going to say do svidaniya, because that is what you said to every single cab driver in Russia.
Yeah, and they appreciated it. And no, what it was privyet, don't speak Russian, sorry. Every taxi.
Oh, yeah.
You have such a good accent.
To be fair,
I'm actually Russian.
As I said in the airport, from love with Russia.
Yeah.
You couldn't get that down at all.
Every time I tried, from Russia, love with.
it's just really struggling, bless him. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much for listening. Do you want to say goodbye one more time?
Not really.
Does with done.
And we'll catch you next time. We'll catch you. Shut up. We'll catch you next time in the mixer.
Das wird dann.
Das wird dann.
It's coming home.